Uh-oh.
I was there. I don't have to listen to it.
This week's show, because it was a disaster.
When you live in a beach resort, it's easy to forget whether you are playing or working. On each week's show, we settle in with a cocktail and try to figure out if there is a difference. This is Day Drinking on Delmarva.
I am Todd from GoodCleanFunLife.com.
And I am Tony Russo, no relation, and you're listening to Day Drinking on Delmarva, a podcast about life and culture on the Delmarva Peninsula. Todd drinks because he gets to live here. I drink because I have to live here. And there's so much going on. it's tough to know where to start. This week we're sponsored by me. The small businesses that we're sponsoring is me. If you're a regular listener, you know I should have said that differently. If you're a new listener, I usually say it better. I want to just, as always, kind of plug my Substack, because I'm moving into a new area. I'm trying to do some more. I'm getting ready to hopefully put out a new podcast on that in April. That's going to feature more stories about mining and murder and mayhem in Minnesota. Speaking of which, the company 3M stands for like Minnesota mining and manufacturing or something. I didn't know that. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I know that.
They have a very, they're like, they've been around forever, and you think of them as Tate, but they were into like other stuff before.
Yes, they were into other stuff before. Always a form of war profiteering. So I think that they did war profiteering. The most recent war, I don't know if you know this or not, but the most recent war, they just paid a huge fine for war profiteering because they sold earplugs that did not work and made every veteran deaf.
Wow.
And they had like a $1 billion contract. And so their fine was, I don't know, $150 or whatever, some sort of meaningless garbage fine. And it's always depressing. Like war profiteers, that's one of those things. Like if you're on the board of directors and you're a war profiteer, they should hang you by your heels naked for a whole day. that should be the price of your $1 billion that you stole from veterans and will never get back. But it's still, they'll sell and more we'll have in the next war. So.
Yeah, and they'll have. But anyway, we should have a segment of like, hang or eat the rich.
Eat the rich.
Tony on Eat the Rich today.
I'm so tedious about that. I mean, you know, you're fortunate. You only have to be subjected to half an hour of me. My poor wife, forget about it.
Kelly.
Lots of cool stuff to talk about this week. And one of the other things I want to plug that we're going to talk about is that I went to someplace in Virginia, like Olney or Onancock, or way the heck down there in right just short of the Bay Bridge on this side of the eastern shore of Virginia, to an antique mall. And I'm writing a little essay about antique malls that I think I'm going to like. I think you're going to like. I hope lots of people will like. But it's the idea of like an antique mall is like that's one of those. There's not quite an oxymoron, but just like a counterintuitive phrase. Like there's nothing more different from an antique than something you buy in a mall. And
I mean, malls themselves are antiques.
Right. And like most, more like if you go to a real antique store, there shouldn't be anything under like $8,000, you know? Yeah. And if you can buy like, you know, extra cupcake holders that were made in the 1990s for 85 cents, it probably shouldn't be in an antique mall. I mean, it should be in an antique mall, but it just kind of undermines the antiquiness of it. But on the way back, and this is kind of what I'd like to talk to you to start about the show anyway, on the way back, we saw a sign, and sometimes my prejudice against the Eastern Shore embarrasses even me. And on the way back, we saw a sign for Kendall's Country Kitchen, and all three were spelled with a K. So I'm like, oh, great. I'm like, well, I guess we're not going to the clan store for lunch or whatever. And right. This is on a billboard. It's a large billboard. And my wife says, the owner is black. Kendall's a black person. Look. And I was so caught up in the three tiny K's in three different words that I missed the, you know, great big black face that was smiling and saying, come get some soul food here. So we stopped, and I can highly recommend Kendall's Country Kitchen. It's not clan affiliated as far as I can tell.
The headline reads Tony loves KKK on Eastern Shore.
Exactly. And you know what? That's the title. I'm going to write it down now. Because the other thing that I want to say to our listeners, and thank you for participating in our experience, and to you, I'm not going to use AI to name these episodes anymore. They're just too awful. I still might take the AI names and use it to make the art, because I think that's very funny. But
the art is fun.
The art has been fun, but it's so terrible. And this is where we can kind of get into the start of the show and talk about what we usually talk about, which is making stuff.
Making stuff.
This is where AI is. Falls down a lot.
Right.
One of the things, and this is, and I use AI every day. I use AI to write every day. I don't use it for my writing, but I use it for other people's writing. Because most people don't write much better than AI, which is why AI is so popular. But people who do write better with AI are like horrified. And there's a lot to talk about there, but what I wanted to get at with our AI that we've been using is it tries to put everything in chronological order. It doesn't really figure out what the show is about. And our show, you know, we move from topic to topic pretty quickly. And so rather than try to figure out, like, is there a main theme that we hit more often than other themes? It just goes in order. And it's like, they said this, they said this, they said this, and it puts it into sentences and paragraphs, which if you're a dumb person hosting a dumb person podcast is fine. Put it out. God bless you.
Yeah.
I can smell AI now. It took me about, whatever, 4 or 5 months, and I can tell the difference between AI generated and not. If it's completely AI generated. If it's AI assisted, I can't, and I probably never will. The thing about AI assisted that people don't really talk about enough, you know, they're like, AI is so good that, you know, real writers use it. Like, yeah, real writers use it. The same way, you know, the same way an Olympian, you know, might use a walking stick. Like, if you twist your ankle, you know, but you know the difference. You know you have to know what's garbage. Like, before you mess with AI, you have to know the difference between what reads like garbage and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And you can ferret that out from AI. There are a couple people who write for the blog that I edit for this financial blog, and it's you can tell when they did it mostly with AI and then did a bad job editing it, because these are guys who are sometimes, you know, okay writers, and then it's like, that's a lot of hyperbole, those are a lot of color words, you know, it's like the AI tries to pretend it's human by using lots of words that humans would never use. Like, they use words that an intellectual human being would use for silly, poorly written stories. Like, if you write like this, you don't use those words. If you use those words, you don't write like this. It's not, you know, and it's not even a dig. It's just a fact.
Right.
So that was, anyway, that was my trip to the country kitchen. And and I can't, I
can't. Kendall uses AI for his marketing for his restaurant, Country Kitchen Mesa.
Kendall is a her, and I'm sorry, Kendall appears to be a person who was born female. How's that? My aunt, when we were having children, when I was having children when I was younger, she always said you should pick a name in advance and pick a gender neutral name. That way you don't have to think about it. And I mean, my aunt didn't have any children. And I'm like, you know, that's not That's not the goal when you're naming a kid, is to pick a name in month number three and then not have to worry about it the rest of the time.
Yeah. It's
pretty far down on the list. But this idea that, you know, there are so many names. My granddaughter's name is Morgan. Morgan was a guy's name growing up for sure. So was Jordan. And, you know, many of them are now girl names.
Mm-hmm.
I spun very far away from that because of Kendall.
Yes.
But I want to bring us back to talking more about the use of how we're using AI. Or do you use much in the video? Do you use much of the new video stuff for AI?
Well, so the transcription is what you use for interview stuff too. I think we've talked about
That's perfectly fine.
There is now the ability, actually. Okay. So I just did a project for the Delaware Restaurant Association, and they have a apprenticeship program. So I interviewed two recent graduates of this apprenticeship program and a chef who's out in, you know, in the real world, who has brought some of these apprentices on. And I've talked to the vocational teacher in the culinary program. So I had four interviews. This is, like I said, for the Delaware Restaurant Association, just to promote this program. And it's a newer client. There's four other people in the room while I'm doing the interviews. And I was able to print out a transcript of those interviews and email them in a Google Doc straight over to them. And they can highlight it, and I can give them the preference, because this is always for what my job entails. This is the hardest part. We want all of this information, but we want it to be sub 2 minutes.
Right.
Right. You know, so
I just finished doing an ad for Funeral Service Insider, the other podcast that I do professionally. Mm-hmm. And the marketing lady, she'll send me like 7 minutes worth of copy. And I'm like, you know, that I'm going to have to cut all of this. Like,
yeah.
But anyway, it's like, they don't have a sense. Like, say all of these things. Like, I can't, I don't talk that fast. And I talk pretty fast. Go ahead. Right. I'm sorry.
But it's nice. So, well, and actually the more advanced part is I can get suggestions on what the things that they say to you know, just weed it down initially. But then also within the programs that I'm using, you can edit it like a text document. In other words, you can delete this, you can highlight this, and it will drop it down on your timeline. So instead of listening through and looking at the waveforms and every and ah trying to cut that out, you can hit a button and it will get rid of every pause that's longer than 2 seconds. And more advanced, get rid of filler words and that sort of thing. And you can even, it's working towards, because they have voice isolation. So they're taking what you're saying and they're cutting out any background noise, you know, any poor recordings could be made to sound really nice, sometimes a little robot-y, but they're on the edge of being able to actually in voice replace a word, you know? Wow. So I it's probably still a little ways off, but it's, I don't know. It's fun. And it's an exciting little thing.
Yeah, can I ask what program you're using?
So I use DaVinci Resolve, but there's also some other specific AI. Descript is one that I have used.
Yeah.
And then are you still using Cast Magic for us?
Yeah, I use Cast Magic, but I also process our audio through something called Authonic, which is, if it doesn't, I mean, I think you can have it pull out the ums, but I don't do that. I do that manually still, because I have to listen to the show. Otherwise I can't write about it. It can improve audio. It's shocking how much.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been using Authonic for the last, I don't know, 8 years of doing this show.
Yeah.
But the last upgrade they did, they added an AI gate, which is shockingly good. It's just as good as having an engineer. I'm sorry, engineers. I know you're going to be just as mad as I am about idiots who don't know how to, but I do know a little bit about engineering, and I do know I couldn't do much better. And I certainly couldn't do anywhere nearly as good in that amount of time. I mean, it does it in like 10 minutes, you know, and it would take me a day to do, because it really will spot. It will spot level. It'll spot gate. It doesn't just put one gate on and hope for the best. It's really, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah. And so there's also an arms race, right? So, you know, the two professional programs I use, I've switched over to DaVinci. I spent 10 years on Premiere Pro, which is an Adobe product. And, you know, so like DaVinci's leaner, it's, you know, a little bit quicker. It's, you know, less buggy. But has, you know, some AI features. And now I'm seeing updates to Premiere where they will have the example that they gave is a you know, you have video of a tennis court and you have a plugin that you can bring into that program that will search for sound effects related to that video.
Wow.
So the AI is interpreting that as a tennis court and then just going through its catalog of sound effects and pulling up, you know, racket whooshes and ball bounces and stuff like that, which, you know, practically though, it's cool. It's interesting. Like practically though, you're still just going to be using the stuff that you're capturing to start with.
Well, and not only
that little,
the sweetener, but you never want to get into the habit. I mean, this is something that, you know, from being a filmmaker for so long, you don't want to get into the habit of expecting to fix it in post. Like if it must be done, but you're never going to improve upon getting the right shot the first time.
Yes.
You know, you're never going to improve upon getting the right audio the first time. Which is more important than those things. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, because we started late. It is my fault. I am sorry. But you said you have a new client, and I want to talk about that for at least a minute. And what are you going to be doing and stuff like that for Good Clean Fun Life Productions, GCFL Productions.
GCFL Productions. Well, you know, I think I mentioned it. We're kind of trying to get back to basics a little bit. We're revamping our website. We actually have gone out, Tony, and asked for testimonials from clients that we've had for 10 years. I mean, so now after 15 years, maybe we can get testimonials on, you know, for our show. But the new client has come along. We're doing two websites for them. It's MR Ducks, and some related businesses are the Talbot Street Inn. They have an apparel company, and they also have a water sports rental type thing. So it's a pretty robust business right down there on in downtown Ocean City on the Bayside.
That's attended. Like an international. I've seen MR Duck stuff on people very far away from here.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a, you know, it's like a great sunset bar. It's like a four-sided bar. You know, there's some similarities, I would say, to the Starboard, in that, you know, they got great bartenders who have been there for years and years, who are, you know, invested in the community. And you know, I know a friend of ours who's a teacher, works there in the summer, and she absolutely loves it. You know, they have the Chug a Duck. So, you know, you're drinking a natural light with amaretto on top of it out of a duck's. Out of a decoy. You know, it's just like one of those things that you have to check off your list.
I've got to say I'm intrigued.
Yes.
I'm not as horrified as I guess I should be, but I'm more intrigued. So amaretto and beer.
I'm pretty sure that it's amaretto and beer. Okay, Natalie just finished the menu. Like I said, we're doing website. We might be doing more. That's yet to be determined. But we're looking forward to, you know, showcasing their business. Their website is old and needs to get a little bit more reach. So and I think there's a great opportunity with their apparel brand, like you're saying, similar to the Starboard. Like you see. people all over the world with Starboard gear on. And, you know, and like, you know, selling that as a lifestyle brand is kind of a no-brainer. And I'm not going to say that it's easy, but
it's certainly an excellent starting point.
it's like, all right, get some photos. Let's get some stuff out there. Let's create some content on, you know.
Oh, can I pitch something?
Yes.
All right, you ready? Mm-hmm. Fashion walk, catwalk, right?
Catwalk.
Uh-huh. The catwalk is a pier.
Perfect. And then do they go off the pier, or
that's your call? So if I was making this commercial, and I'm not, and I don't think that you have to, but if you want to, you're welcome to. You do a straight one where they do the catwalk on the pier, where the pier is the catwalk, you know, and it's like,
right,
you know, and then at the end they hold hands and jump in the water or something like that. Something very, you know, serious and fun. Pow, pow, pow.
I also think that you know, so the catwalk, when I imagine that, it's, you know, lined with people, watching, we would have to get some, like, maybe even like some commercial fishing boats or
something. I mean, people in ripped t-shirts, not in suits, but in ripped t-shirts, you know.
Yes.
Maybe fishing off either side, lots of butt cracks on coolers.
Yes. Let's put this in the generative AI and come up with a shot list, and we could really do something here.
Sounds like so much fun. And that's the, I think your upside, this is why you get to drink and I have to drink, because you tend to work with companies that have a fun, like people who aren't interested in fun aren't calling you, you know, like you're going to do something that's not only different, but that embraces, you know, the little like nod and a wink. Mm-hmm. I heard a great, so do you know who Wheeling Walker Jr. is?
I don't think so.
Wheeler Walker Jr. Anyway, he's this,
do you know,
I kind of know. I've heard him before. He is like a parody singer. He's like this East Coast Jewish guy who does these like really rednecky songs. Like, you know, like, and they can be like a little vile, like, you know, sleeping with your sister, like very much making fun of redneck culture. And I heard some comedians talking about it. One of them said, you know, rednecks can take that.
Yeah.
That kind of ribbing. Like, you know, he said, you can go to Texas and make fun of their stupid hats. And they're like, oh, ho, ho, you're right. We do wear stupid hats. He's like, try it in Portland. Try going up in Portland and making fun of a non-binary person with a ring in their nose and see what kind of laughs you get. So,
right.
And so that's what, you know, that's what, I'm the guy in Portland who won't laugh. And you're the guy in Texas who's like, yeah, this is funny as fuck. Yeah. I do know people who sleep with their sister. You know, it's something that I'm going to have to be thinking about, you know, for the next couple of weeks. Thinking about how I approach things, because
when we do the shoot, when we do the shoot this summer, we're going to get you down there and you have to be one of the butt cracks on the beer cooler.
I would pay you fewer than $50 to be one of the, to be one of the butt cracks.
Now searching.
Only if I can wear a Who Farted shirt. So that's wonderful.
Speaking of award level ideas in filmmaking, we should also mention that the Ocean City Film Festival is this weekend. It's always a great thing. There's lots of great films. I once again had a fleeting thought in November, December that I was going to put something together. And of course I never did. So another year has gone by where I haven't submitted anything, but it's still worthwhile thing to check out.
It really is. And the people, we miss it every year. We got it one year. We had Kristen on, that was back in Berlin. So that was 2016. Holy Christ.
Yes.
2017, or it could have been much later than that because I haven't been in Berlin since 2017 or 2018. But we had Kristen on, and she's great. And both she and her now husband, who run and founded the film festival, were my interns. So I get a little bit of credit because I used to be like, yeah, just go do this. This is way cooler than being an intern at this goofy, goofy place. And that's one of the things that I don't... One of the things that I always have trouble with is this idea that, you know, the just the mercenary aspect of nostalgia for sale regarding Ocean City. I mean, I hate the way it's very much like the Wheeler Walker thing. You don't know if these people don't know if they're being made fun of or if they're in on the joke.
And, right.
And that was one of the reasons the Wheeler Walker stopped. Apparently he stopped doing it was because people were taking him too seriously. And he was becoming like this anthem writer for the worst people in the world.
And
he didn't really, you know, it's like, you're out. We should kill some more Jews, you know, that kind of thing. and he's like, oh, golly, that's not really, you know, it's only a joke for so long. And that's my ambivalence when it comes to Ocean City. It's like, How much of what's supposed to be ironic has eaten its tail and become a serious, you know, approach to life rather than I'm in Ocean City and no one will probably find out about it kind of approach.
Well, and so I think that's one of the nice things about the Art League and the film festival is it's legit. It's like they have international entries. And like, you know, it's been going on for quite a while. And so it's not going to be that overprocessed, touristy, you know.
Speaking of overprocessed.
Chugging out of a duck.
Speaking of overprocessed and touristy, my hipster wife is complaining about Ocean's Calling because there are too many bands she's heard of already. As you know, last year, my wife and I, more and I through her, got into Noah Kahan, who no one had ever heard of, and now everyone knows about. We were Noah Kahan hipsters, and he was booked at Ocean's Calling last year, and he exploded right before Ocean's Calling. So he went from like this low build guy no one ever heard of to this big name act. And so this year they only have big name acts and older big name acts. And then my wife was like, us, and all of her friends are like, this is going to be the best Ocean's Calling ever. And she's like, but you know, it's because they have, is it 311 or Blink 182? I don't know the difference.
It's both.
Oh, all
it's
right. Both. Good.
it's all the numbers.
All the number groups are coming. So
all the number groups who are members of the AARP are going to be there.
Yeah, so I think that we mentioned before coming on, maybe we'll do something about Ocean's Calling, and we'll start to put these things. The problem is that I get mean so easily.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to leave it there.
We can't have you talking to an artist or somebody about something, and you know, and then threatening Andy Harris's life.
I don't think that there's, with the exception of possibly Kid Rock, there are no artists that are gonna care if I threaten Andy Harris's life. I'm working on a Kid Rock essay called Kid Rock Voice of Reason, and it's gonna be good if I ever finish it.
I like that.
It's a great title, and it's true. And last but not least, there was one other thing that we were supposed to mention that I cannot remember now. I did this day in history, but did you have something else?
No.
Well, we're running up against it. Just real quick, this date in history. this is a long idea, so I'll go as fast as I can. There was a period of time where they kept women from working by making like a maximum number of hours that women were allowed to work. And this, I guess, started in the 1920s because this day in 1924, I'm sorry, on March 5th, 1924, Wicomico, Somerset, all the Eastern Shore counties fought to be exempted from having maximum working hours for women.
They believed in women's rights.
Maybe because they believed in women's rights. Maybe because women worked in the crab and oyster shucking industries and
yes,
8 hours and only 48 hours a week wasn't enough. It is so funny. They're fighting like this. There was a world. We were born into a world that mm-hmm. was a 6 day work week for until the 40s. You know, yeah. Like it wasn't like, oh, it was like, no, you work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. And also sometimes 10 hours a day on Sunday. And if you don't like it, you shouldn't have been born poor. And so watching this change is very interesting. And that was just a little fun fact. So they were exempted.
What was the maximum hours that they were?
No maximum. They weren't talking about making a maximum. They were talking about making a minimum.
Yes.
So they were saying that women should not be able to work more than 48 hours. So they put a cap on how long women could work in the rest of the state, but not here.
Yeah.
Not here. Which is, I mean, yeah, you want equality, open your own freaking door and have to work a 70-hour week. Welcome to equality. Of course, we could just make it better for everybody instead of making it worse for everybody. But it would take what I like about doing this every week is I can see the Great Depression coming. You know, this is 1924. You've got 5 years left. So I'm like, oh, yeah, look, a little bank failure here. Oh, yeah, look, a little credit crunch there. I'm like, I see it. Yeah. I've seen it coming. I mean, this is the 100th time I've read about the 1920s. So it's easy. But
funny.
That'll have to do is for this week, and I'm so sorry that I ran us long with all my goofy stuff. We're going to do a better job next week, but until next week, I got nothing else. How about you?
I got nothing.
All right, well, remember, at the beach
it's happy hour whenever you say it is.